quite happily working away in Glasgow Archdiocese in a very busy parish, and having done 7 years there, I was seriously considering going to South America and doing mission work.
Scarcely a day goes by without a mention of armed forces in the media. Yet, although we hear so much about the Army, Navy and Air Force, we scarcely hear anything of the chaplains who face the same dangers as those for whom they care, yet as unarmed non-combatants, ministering to those who need a chaplain. Father Michael Sharkey has just returned from Helmand province in Afghanistan. I asked him how he came to be a chaplain to the Royal Marine Commandos serving there.
The naval chaplaincy had a recruiting campaign, and I was one of four priests that they approached in the diocese. And I thought to myself, you know, this could be mission work as well in the military. So that's the way it came about. And I've been doing this now for, coming up 16 and a half years now as a naval chaplain.
Oh, it's a good long time then.
Yes. I say to myself now, I've been doing this longer than, your traditional kind of parish work, as it were, you know, back in a diocese. But it's very, very different. Obviously, being a naval chaplain, the Royal Marines are part of that as well. So between both Royal Navy and Royal Marines, there's been a fair amount of travel, both at sea and also kind of flying out to particular areas, you know, where it's probably most needed, our services. I've been to South America, all over the Caribbean, the Falklands, and now most recently in these hot spots of Afghanistan.
Being in Afghanistan and you're a naval chaplain, there's not too much sea there.
No, we're very much landlocked, it has to be said, but that this is the role of the Royal Marines. You know, they can be oversea and they can be on land also. And we as Royal Naval Chaplains, that's one of our roles, to support the Royal Marines, whether that be, you know, kind of a seagoing environment or land-based.
The military chaplain has the responsibility of caring for people both going into battle and on their return.
All the more reason they should have chaplains to provide that pastoral care and support from them in those difficult and situations where at times, you know, they do feel kind of for their lives, you kind of, you know, especially if those rounds or bullets have been whistling by their ears. In those quiet, reflective moments, they need a chaplain to talk to about them, because as well as feeling for themselves, more importantly, because they are Royal Marines, they don't always think about themselves, that they do the job that's expected of them, but they think about their families and their loved ones back home. And it's really, you know, having a kind of a sounding board and someone that they can talk to in confidence about those areas in their lives.
Yes, because there must be times when they feel pretty well torn apart because they're going into a situation of danger and yet their family is left behind. And if they get hurt or killed, then who's going to look after their family?
Yeah, and I think the organisation that they belong to, we call it the Royal Marines family, where, you know, it's not just looking after our Royal Marines, but if anything were to happen to them, then their families will be looked after, supported by us, and by our prayers, our visitation of them, support of them, and they are never forgotten because they family.
Yes, because when I spoke to you yesterday, you were just on your way to see a family.
Indeed, and this was one of our lads, Royal Marines, that was killed in Afghanistan. And because I'm there, I look after the boys there, and we have a support network here, you know, welfare, and they will have been looked after by the family. The families will have been looked after by them, but I felt that as from a pastoral point of view, it's just so important, you know, to go to them and be with them and provide them with that care, pastoral support.
Because to an extent, if a family knows that their husband, son, brother is going into a war situation, they know there's the possibility of something happening, but when it does actually happen, then they've got to come to terms with the fact that somebody has not only died, but has died tragically.
Yeah, and it can be very, very trying for the family, but the one area for the family and the thing they can take out of it was that their son loved the Royal Marines. He was entirely happy with what he was doing. Okay, the circumstances surrounding perhaps their death is very tragic, but they're committed, you know, to the job. They don't think of themselves, and And the family are happy for them, as it were, but at the same time, you know, obviously worried, concerned.
And they must be immensely proud of them.
Oh, hugely, hugely proud. And I think you only need to see this whenever we have a military funeral, where all, if they're available, his friends and colleagues being there.
Before a battle, fear is felt by both the chaplain and the troops. How does Father Michael support them?
What I do is, if I know the Marines are going into a difficult situation, they're going out on an operation, often I will bring them together around me and we will say a short prayer together and we will ask God to look after us, keep us from all harm. And that brings them a lot of consolation and support by doing that, coming together in prayer. Now, sometimes you often think we're all Marines, you know, in the military, we're not into prayer life, but I can assure you, you know, in situations, scenarios like this, they do believe, you know, and they want to give witness and show that, their faith in God. And that's my role there as a chaplain, to lead them in prayer.
But when they come back from a battle as well, because they must have seen some pretty horrible things, and sometimes coming to terms with what they've seen and what they've done must be incredibly hard.
Oh, yeah. Again, we have an organisation, you know, where we bring them together, either as a small group or as individuals, and we will talk through the event of what's happened. And what we're saying is, you know, what you've experienced, what you've done, you know, if it was back here in the UK, it's not normal. And it's to talk through that experience, along, as I said, either by themselves or with the group that was involved. And that, I think, brings, you know, kind of support and comfort to them, that what their actions, what they have been involved in, as I said, you know, it's for a greater good.
As a chaplain, as a priest, you are a non-combatant.
I am indeed.
And yet you are in a war situation.
Yeah, and it has to be said, many of the Marines will often question me as to why I don't carry a weapon, especially, you know, in that difficult, dangerous situation. And of course, I often say to them, I've got top cover.
Well, that's true.
And I'm providing top cover for you as well. So that seems to go down well, that answer.
Yes. So they're going into an operation knowing there's also they've got to defend you?
No, they don't feel they've got to defend me, because they obviously are concentrating on themselves and the scenario around about them. Yes, they may be aware of my presence there, but at the end of the day, they've got a job to do, and I've got my job as I'm walking alongside them, saying prayers and hoping that none of those bullets will stray anywhere near us. So I think they're quite happy and very comfortable, the fact that I am there with them. It's an interesting dynamic, let's say.
Yes. And also, being a priest, you're there for everybody. So you might be the chaplain to the Marines, but you would also be there for the people on the other side as well.
Yes, of course, yeah. If I'm in contact with any of the Afghan National Army, Afghan National Police, who are there supporting us, you know, the Royal Marines, yes, I'm there talking to them, building them up. And I'm also, whenever, say, Taliban or any of the Afghan locals end up in our hospital, when I'm visiting there, some of my men, then I'll talk also to them too, because, you know, they're all part of God's family.
As a military chaplain, Father Michael has his own kit to carry.
I will have a little side pouch where I will have my chalice, my altar breads, and my missal, and my readings, and also a number of hymn sheets. So prayer and celebrating the Eucharist is an important part of my job as a chaplain on a Sunday, wherever we might be, kind of on the ground. And I will just bring the lads together and set up my altar, and we'll celebrate Mass. And it has to be said, they're always very well attended.
And also, it has to be said that because of the different situations in which you found yourself, you probably said Mass in some intriguing places.
Oh, yes. I remember one of the areas where we were based, a place called Kijaki, and it's just such a beautiful, scenic, mountainside area in that part of the Helmand province. And I climbed, I think, two mountains that day and said Mass on each of them. And this was Christmas as it happened, and the lads were just, you know, full of it, as it were, you know. They were, you know, singing out those Christmas carols. For example, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you could hear that echoing throughout the valleys there. And it's those memories that will always remain very special to me, you know, of that place, you know, where I said Christmas Mass, and other places as well where I took Sunday Mass.